I'm up and running here. I have a blue light. There we are. There's my text. You can see it even, look, and the sun is not shining at the moment. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Aren't you glad you came today for that? Aren't you? Aren't you glad? You'll find it in page 967 in the Blue Bibles. It comes in the middle, not in the middle, but towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I got this about 6 weeks ago, and I was looking at it when there was snow on the ground, trying to figure it out. What in the heck does that mean? So I'll begin where I began, and I'll show you how the process of it. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. There's a large crowd listening in, and he's saying many, many things to them. But right here, I think in chapter 6, verses 22-23, he just throws this out. He doesn't explain it. He just says it, and he just moves on to his next point. Actually, in verse 24, he'll say, no one can serve two masters. But we won't go that far today, so that's what we have. So the real question you've got to ask, how many people have heard that verse before? Yeah, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of life. We've heard it, probably down through the years. I had no idea what it meant, but you know. And maybe you'll walk out today and say, still have no idea. Oh, there's the rain. Anyway, not to worry. So the first question is, what is Jesus communicating through these verses? Now, that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Because that's where you've got to start. And obviously, as you look at it, you can see at the most basic level, it has nothing to do with eyes, because he's contrasting healthy versus unhealthy, isn't he? And then he's contrasting light with darkness. We got that much anyway, have we? If you haven't got that, we're really in trouble. We really are in trouble. But that's what it looks like at probably the most basic level. And let's be honest, often we don't get any further than that, do we? Because we haven't got the time, or we haven't got the interest, or it doesn't seem to be anywhere relevant to where we're at. And God knows there's enough to be going on in life than just exploring verses that don't seem to have anything in it for us. Does that make sense? So at the most basic level, it's got to do with our eyes, with eyes in general, healthy versus unhealthy, light versus darkness. But that's how much helped us. So then, as I walk my way through, I now want to give you the highlight of the sermon, right? We're only 3 minutes in, this is the highlight. So how would you go about putting a title onto that? Here's my best, right? Well, because Jesus is not just referring to good eyesight, or bad or good, but there's something more profound. There's something got to do with, there's more to this than meets the eye. When Jesus is talking about this, there's much more to this than meets the eye. We have landed, but I think that's a good title. That is a good title. The truth is, Jesus, of course, is not referring to good sight versus bad sight or poor sight. He is something much more profound than that. Don't tell me, and let no one tell you, that Jesus was simple. Jesus was incredibly complex, and he could say things, and it could take years to unravel them, right? And here's an example of what he's talking about. So there we are, and we move on. So more to this than meets the eye. Well, then I made my next progress. I said, okay, healthy eyes, we'll start there, right? Verse 22. He says this, no, there's healthy eyes. If you get no nails, if you're healthy, that's what the way your eyes should look. Nice and blue. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Okay? Are you with me so far? So we're looking at healthy eyes. Now the question is, what in the heck does he mean by healthy eyes, or being able to see good? And we know he's not just talking about physical eyesight. Any ideas so far? He looked as blank as I did when I was looking at this. It was even worse. So if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The first clue that we get is, what does healthy mean? Isn't that good? What does it mean? Well, actually, the Greek for healthy implies generous. No, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't he just say generous? But it implies generous. So, after a bit of research, I came up with this. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if you have a good eye, that is, if you are generous, your whole body will be full of light. Imagine that. The message puts us this way. The only source of the light, of light for the body is the eye. That's the way the light goes in, obviously. If you look at people and want to help them, you'll be full of light. So it's talking here about a generous disposition. And I went on and I looked at another verse. The New American Standard says this way, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, well, what does he mean by clear? And it means there again, the very same idea in terms of single focus and a generous disposition towards other people. Same idea. And the New King James, or the Old King James says this, the eye is lamp of the body. Therefore, if thine eye being single, the whole body shall be full of light. All those seems a bit confusing. The idea of single there is the idea of focus. But it's a focus out, not a focus in. Does that make sense? So whatever he's talking about anyway, he's talking about focus and he's talking about perspective that has something got to do with generosity towards other people. So that's roughly what healthy eyes look like, okay? Well, no, then he goes on to talk about unhealthy eyes. So we'll go to that next, okay? Don't worry about that. So unhealthy eyes, the next verse down, oh, there's your man, no? He was on the town for Patrick's Day, and he's only coming back. Look at the state of him. So that's unhealthy eyes. I thought, just to give a thing. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, that's a pretty horrendous, isn't it? And we asked the question again, but if your eyes are unhealthy, what does this mean? The Greek for unhealthy simply implies stingy. It's the absolute opposite of generous. Mean-spirited, you could say. Does that make sense? So then, but if you look at people in a selfish way, you will be full of darkness. The Easy Revised Version puts it that way. Again, it's got to do with focus and perspective and what you're doing with people, isn't it? But it's all outward. Another version, I think the message says it this way, if I can put it up there. It says, if you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body will be a dank cellar. In other words, not a pretty place to be. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust. Obviously, of other people. It impacts what's actually inside. But if your eye is clouded with evil thoughts and desires, you are in deep spiritual darkness. Today's Living Bible, which is kind of a paraphrase. So that helped me a bit, but not, you know, I was getting the idea behind it. So therefore then, I was still struggling, so I went to the Amplified. I said, maybe the Amplified can bring a bit of clarity because I'm still here in the fog. The Amplified says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, spiritually perceptive. Now that's getting closer, but fairly big words, right? Your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts, or in other words, God's words. So something about our focus and something about our perspective and what we're taking in does affect us spiritually. That's what he's saying. So it does affect us. So if what we're taking in is light and our focus is right, we will benefit from God's word. Then what happens, verse 23, if we go the other way? But if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside you, your inner self, your heart, your conscience, is darkness, how great and terrible is that darkness? The first question I was asking myself, what do you focus on? Because what we focus on has an impact on us, doesn't it? I mean, so we're saying, we're not saying anyone here is full of darkness, but what we're saying is, but if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, you will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. In other words, the thing will make absolutely no sense. You're full of something and there's no room for anything else to get in. Does that make sense? That's kind of thing what he seems to be saying. But I still wasn't happy with it. It still said, I wasn't happy. I said, I have a rough idea of what it means, but it's not much of a help. Not to Helen either. So Helen and I are on the same page. It was not much of a help to me either, right? So I was getting desperate at this stage. The snow was falling. They were telling me that we wouldn't see the light of day for about 2 days. So I kept going with it anyway. And I said, there is more to this than meets the eye. There's something in here the Lord wants to show us and show me that I haven't seen yet. And I thought it was about time that maybe we could rush him up a bit. But anyway, in dire need, I did the only thing we can do. And the only thing you can do is, if you don't understand it, you go back up a few verses, you back her up and see what comes before it, and then you can move down along the line. So this comes from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 23. He says, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Just comes in after that, you see that? If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the darkness within you is darkness, how great that darkness. That's the context. So then, what we did right then, the only thing we could do is to see if we could figure out that and then get a better handle on it. So first of all, it says, do not throw, this is getting to the heart of the matter, so do not store up treasure for yourself on earth where moths and rust. So he's describing here about what's important to your heart. The first thing he's talking about is treasure on earth. It means much more than just money, right? It means is what is really important, right? To your heart. He says, don't store that up there on earth because, you know, depreciation, it can get robbed and you can lose the whole lot. Then, and it brings a great deal of uncertainty. You can't guarantee it. But then verse 20 says, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. So there you have certainty. If you're storing up on earth, there's a great deal of uncertainty. No, he's not talking about not saving for a rainy day and not being reckless with money. He's not talking about that, right? He's talking about something that is really important, something that you really treasure in your heart, that has your main focus in life. That's what he's talking about. What do you treasure the most? And whatever you treasure the most, there your focus will be. And whatever your focus will be is going to impact. Does that make sense? It began to make sense to me. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the question I ask when I was looking at this, what do you treasure most in life? What's most valuable to you? Where, what you spend your time focusing on? Does that make sense? No, look, we all have to live, and we're not saying you have to be down on your hands and knees 24 hours a day, you know, bowing and praying, and we're not saying that. But every one of us has a priority. And so the Lord was challenging me, well, really, Pat, this is about treasure. It actually is what matters most to you. When you're away from everybody else, what is it you focus on? What is it that you want more than anything else? What is it is your desire? Because we all have a focus. Don't tell me, we all have it. Then he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. So you can have a good focus, which will bring health. Or, verse 22, you can have a bad focus, which brings darkness. But it's all tied into treasure. And ultimately what is thrown into is into your heart. What you treasure most is what you're going to focus on. That's the truth. Hence the reason why he went with the eyes directly after the treasure. Because he knows whatever we treasure, that's our focus. So, I mean, what he's really saying in one sense, we can focus on stuff that brings light to us and that moves us out to people, or we can focus on stuff that becomes inward, of where it's all about me and it produces nothing but darkness, in the sense of we lose our perspective. We get devoid of hearing from God, and ultimately it's just nothing. Does that make sense? I still was struggling. I was reading commentaries desperate at this stage, and I did an unusual thing. I listened to a sermon, right? To see if I could get any perspective. I normally don't listen to other people's sermons. I prefer to get it myself. But I listened to a sermon by one of my great mentors, R.T. Kendall, and I'll give you his perspective in a minute. But I had looked at one more passage, and it says, "The eyes of your spirit allow revelation and light to enter your being. But if your heart is unclouded, the light floods in." Have you ever been in a situation where the Lord will say, "Turn that thing off. Just turn it off"? I have at home at times, and not to be watching stuff that's dodgy, it's just sometimes the Lord will say to me, "Don't watch that. I have something to show you." Other times I can work on and it's fine. It's not every time, but there are times of, and there are things that I can watch, or that I don't, there are things that I watch, and they'll rob me spiritually. It's not that they're immoral, don't get me wrong, right? They just rob me. Deep down inside, it is negative after negative after negative. What the world reports really is negative news with no solution. And the more desperate it is, the more they'll bang on it. Because that's what they want, you know, that's what we're looking for. It's like as if we feed ourselves on misery. That has a way of bringing us down. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we should not know what's going on in the world. I'm just saying is there are times of where the eyes of your spirit allows revelation and light to enter your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light will flood it in. You have to have a receptive heart, and you have to have some kind of a focus to get the thing in. If you're unfocused, it doesn't get in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter? Isn't that quite amazing? And it's just not just about money, it goes much further than that. Anyway, move on for the second time. The benefit of good eyes, this was R.T. Kendall. Now, all these points he developed, right? Some sermon. I'm just going to give you the heading so it gives you some idea of where he went with it, right? The benefit of good eyes, he said, clear thinking in teaching. Discernment, direction, knowing God's will, a sense of duty. You know what it is that God wants you to do in the good sense, right? This is what God requires of me. And a sense of dignity, he said, you know, this is what God wants to do. And because God wants me to do it, I can do it. And there's a feeling of wellness inside. I know what I'm doing. I know what God's will is for me. I have a certain amount of discernment. All that is the benefit of a good focus. But clear focus often is for the benefit of other people. And you know, we said healthy eyes is a generous spirit towards other people. Unhealthy eyes is the absolute opposite, just completely stingy, completely self-focused on oneself. And the effects of bad eyes is double-minded. You don't know where you're coming or going. Does that make sense? I can't make up my mind. No, I have trouble making up my mind for, give me a choice of three coffees and I'm in trouble, you know. Or, you know, put four things in front of me and I'll not get any. But double-minded, the effects of bad eyes is it's easy to be deceived. Disorder. Your mind isn't just completely all over the place. Denseness. And you mean by that is, you can see, but you're seeing in the haze all the time. And there's never any clarity in it. And all of that leads to only one thing, dread. Does that make sense? No, that's some, that is some amount of thinking, isn't it? And that's just his opening shot at it. Anyway, I went on and say then, but then he said, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What in the heck does that mean? The last test I want to be is in that level of darkness. So this is what he thought it was. I don't think he was actually right. Delusion. When we're into darkness, it's so easy to believe a lie. So easy. And you know, we often say people are deluding themselves. But part of this darkness that can enter us or that we can be partaking is we end up believing a lie. We get disillusioned. It could describe the country, spiritually speaking, apart from a few saints of God. The country is completely disillusioned, isn't it? With Christianity of any shape, or any size. Despair. All the things of wrong focus, incorrect thinking, where it can lead to. No, it doesn't mean to say that everyone goes there, but some people do. Disgrace. You go from one to another, to another, and that has happened. That has happened. Part of the reason why people have stopped believing is because of those things. And it's the disgrace. They go up the ladder instead of coming down, if you know what I mean. And his last point was debauchery, that we just go further and further and further. When I put it all together, I said, Lord, what are you trying to teach us? And here's what he showed me, is the most important thing. He talked about the heart, and do not store up treasure in for yourself on earth, but store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Because wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So what I've learned from all this is above all else, you've got to guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And let me put that in very simple English for you. What matters most to you? That's what's in your heart. That's what is in your heart. And I'm not saying that no negatively, I'm just saying that's what's in your heart. And whatever is in your heart, there your focus is going to be. So if I'm focusing, I'm completely on myself all of the time, then I am not going to be able to receive what God has for me because I'm blocking it out. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying there's not time to get stuff for yourself. I'm just saying this. If I'm completely focused on myself all of the time, and that is my perspective, and nothing else, couldn't give a rip about anything or anybody else, then selfishness and self-centeredness and all of that creeps in, and I become more and more focused on what? Me. And the more I become focused on me, the less light is going to get in. How do we apply this? It's not that difficult to apply it at all, actually, because there's really only two questions in it. We can tell Calder the coffee, that's very important, Andy. There's really only two questions in it. When you put it down together is, what's really important to me? If God was to write me a blank check tomorrow morning for my life, where would I be and what would I do? How many of you would be here? How many of us would change our life like that? No, I'm not saying there's places to change our life and there's things here we could desperately do with changing for people. Of course there is. But I'm just saying, how many people, if they got a blank check tomorrow morning and the Lord says, okay, we can rewrite this script here, what would you change? No, the question I'm asking is, how often do you focus on that? that's a good question, isn't it? Because I know the answer to that question straight away. I'm a pastor because of God's choice. I'm a musician because of my own. We know that. But any bit of revelation that we have got, or anything that I've got down through the years, has been as a result of following God and letting the light come in. And much of what I've got has been somewhat of a benefit to others. Maybe not a great benefit, but some of it has been a benefit to others. I have found the more I've got to guard my heart, watching stuff that's coming in that will rob what's inside. I've got to be very careful about not robbing what's inside. You can only feed yourself a certain amount of spiritual, and then you've got to go off and do ordinary life. I acknowledge that. But you've got to feed it, and you've got to watch to make sure the stuff is not taking out. And the next question I'd ask simply then is what do you treasure most? And therefore then, whatever you treasure most, that's your focus. And whatever you're focusing, that's what you're drawn in. You're drawn in light, okay? Or drawn in at least shades of grey that can lead to darkness. No, we do both. We do both. But what I'm just saying is, what he's saying is, you've got to be careful about your perspective. You've got to be careful about what you watch with your eyes anyway, first of all, but you've got to be much more careful about your perspective, because your perspective can help you with the light, or else it can start heaping in darkness. Now the question I want to ask God is, why in God's name, in his good name may we say as well, did he give us this? I would never have picked this passage. I stay away from the Sermon on the Mount at a great cost, because it's extremely difficult to explain it. And all of us can do better than I can. But this is what he gave me. And saying, Pat, what do you treasure most? And whatever you treasure most, there is your perspective. There is your focus. Final question. What does Jesus treasure most? We put it back on him. And what was his focus? You know the answer is, apart from doing the will of God, right? You and me. What was it that Jesus treasured on earth? People. Everything he did was what? Was for their benefit. Every bit of teaching he gave, every bit of insight, every bit of instruction, everything he lived for the benefit of other people. What mattered to Jesus more than anything else were people. There were his treasure. And he had them on earth, he'll have them in heaven. The question I'm asking is, how much of a treasure are we to people, and how much of a treasure are people to us? I think that's what it comes down to. You have to answer that question for yourself. Anyway, we finish. Lord, we come before you and say, Lord, only you know if our eyes are healthy, because Lord, you know our heart, and you know our perspective, and you know our focus. But Lord, you also know if our eyes are unhealthy, Lord, if we have, Lord, take our eye off the ball, so to speak. And our thing, Lord, this is not a rebuke to anyone, Lord, merely a warning shot, Lord, that our perspective and our heart really matters in our spiritual journey with you. So we pray, Lord, for everyone here this morning, who knows what they've got from it, for those who listen on the web. And Lord, we pray that there will be one thing at least clear in all of it, for all of us. And Lord, we take this truth, commit it to you, and say, Lord, do with it what will bring honor and glory to your name. And all God's people said,